Can I ask you something?
Shoot.
Mind if it's something personal?
Fire away.
Who's Zach?
Zach is a friend of mine.
Oh, so you do have friends?
Yeah. He's my only friend.
What kind of person is he, then?
Well, I've never seen his face. But he's always with me, and we discuss everything.
When did you become friends?
A long time ago. Back when I was a child.
So this is the, I don't know, with recording session. We've been having trouble recording lately because Jess has got an infection, as Brett might have included in the previous two or three recording sessions.
It fucking sucks, yo.
She's been quite sick.
Yeah.
So we'd start playing and then, you know.
I'd have to be driven to the ER.
Yeah, it was not a good time. Would highly not recommend getting an ear infection. Anyway, I'll skip us ahead to about where we left off last time, where we are running away from the townsfolk who showed up wielding weapons.
Zach, they're currently being controlled by an unknown force.
Oh, shit.
Try not to hurt them if we can.
He has a chainsaw. No, dang.
Never actually looked at them last time, did we?
No. She's got, pipe. I'm just gonna go, though.
Yeah.
We run past the townsfolk and avoid harming any of them and run into the theater, which I think I called the clock tower last time, but it's the theater. I think it might be, like, adjacent to the clock tower. We know there's a secret passage, but I don't know the actual relation of the buildings. The entrance leads us to one of the dreamlike worlds. It's the room where everything looks like it's a picture negative and the floor is all reflective. It's where we saw Emily and Harry last time.
So I put Brett through some questioning over whether or not there's two endings. And he said, I cannot say, so that probably means yes, and then I fucked up.
I'm one of those people who considers everything a spoiler, even the absence of information, so I will be as vague as possible when people ask questions to me. So when I say I cannot answer, that doesn't mean yes, it doesn't mean no, it means I don't want you to know.
Because I don't know where this is saved to, but I remember, I'll shave him just because, like, I don't know, it's been like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, this nice serene black and white dream world is also a safe room. We got all the regular amenities, including a mirror to shave in, even though it's smashed up.
Are you done yet? Nah, he's actually going extremely fast. Although the broken mirror shaving has to suck. Let's see.
No, you kind of get used to just doing it by feel.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep him, and then I'm going to feed him.
You think I shaved in my rearview mirror when I was homeless?
To be honest, I've always kind of seen you with the beard. So even though I know that you have to upkeep the beard, I've never really put two and two together.
Fair enough.
I knew that you had the shower at my house.
Once a week.
You could have showered more. I would have encouraged you to shower more, but you were like, no, I don't want to be a burden. Mr. No lives with me.
I pay rent now.
Who leaves his shit all over my kitchen counter?
I pay rent now.
I'm still mad.
Says the girl with Diet Pepsi cans all over my counter most of the time.
Specifically, just in my spot.
In your spot?
Yeah.
My entire workbench is covered in empty pop cans.
No. What happened with that was I put them all there when I was helping you clean your whole room, not just my spot.
Uh-huh.
And all those ones there are ones that need to be dumped out. They're ones that you can't just throw into a bag. I told you this, and they've never moved since.
I have emptied the bench more than once.
Hell yeah, I'm leaving the empty soda can discussion in our finale episode. What are you going to do about it? We start looking at our suits and make a realization.
We have done surprisingly, like, no nothing.
Yeah, there is a lot of suits.
This door, there is no turning back. You still want to enter?
We're met with two options here. There's okay, go on ahead, or no, I'll go with you.
Is there any other door?
Sidna, I'll go with you, I guess.
We get the spooky sound effect, but it just backs us out of the menu.
Because there's this door here. This is where I came from, though, right? Oh, okay, yeah, so that's a nothing door.
Oh, that's just it's progression time.
Open this door.
Can we skip this?
There is no turning back. You still want to enter?
Not particularly, but okay.
Very well, then. Off you go.
This is old man.
Yes.
Sweet. I like him.
And so York walks into the theater. As we're walking in, we see both Kaysen and Emily up on stage. Kaysen's standing, but Emily is sitting down. Her shirt is open, and there's a red blanket or cloth in her lap, and under the blanket, but poking out, looks like it is the red sapling.
And finally you arrive, York.
George is dead. You've got nowhere left to run.
Did he gut her and plant the sapling?
Oh, right, George. George. He was a funny one. I gave him a toy locket, and he was so impressed, so moved. But he wasn't very intelligent. He was born in this town, you see, and it took him too long to discover the Red Sea. Binding down people's rules is a sign of small-mindedness, and that was what George represented in life.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I'm taking Emily.
York walks up onto the stage now.
Oh, but I can't allow that now, can I?
Just fucking shoot him in the head.
You left her to me, in my care, remember? I told you to come with us, didn't I? You must remember that. But you didn't come. You chose your job over the woman that you love.
Kaysen, this chit-chat is over.
Over? Indeed it is. My fun with Emily ended just a moment ago. It was a fantastic moment. Like eating a full-course dinner that ends with the ultimate dessert. I fed her a fake story about my past, and she took in every word.
York fires a warning shot towards Kaysen.
Cut out your nonsense. I told you, no more talk.
There you go, York. That's right. Feel the hate boiling from the bottom of your stomach. That's what makes little men create such great and amazing history. Just like tiny ants that make giant anthills.
Like this is all happening on, like, a stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just had dessert and... yet I'm already hungry again. No wonder why I keep failing at keeping a diet.
Kaysen, stop! The next one will pierce you between your eyes.
York!
Emily, it's me. I'm here. Don't worry. Everything will be fine now.
York? Is that you? Oh, God. York, I...
Emily's eyes look unfocused, and she appears to be confusing Kaysen for York.
Emily, no. That isn't me.
Why hasn't he shot him yet?
Yeah.
York.
Boom, boom, boom. I have...
And tongue.
Emily and Kaysen begin kissing.
Emily!
Ah!
Kaysen then sticks out his tongue, and his tongue is long. It goes down past his first chin. He then licks Emily's face. It appears that Emily has regained lucidity and she shoves Kaysen off of her.
Oh, that's spooky.
York, I'm sorry, I...
It's okay, Emily. Hurry, come over here. We need to get you to the hospital.
Dude.
She probably shouldn't
have. I can't go to you. I've been soiled.
No, that's not true. You have a heart that can't be soiled. No matter what happens to your body, you are still yourself.
York.
What happened, though? Oh, no. This might be worse than being cut open. Is it like tentacles?
No.
Oh, shit.
Emily stands up and the blanket falls off of her. The camera pans up, starting at her feet, and her legs are covered in blood, and it reaches her midsection, and the tree is coming out of her stomach.
Oh, didn't I tell you? Getting these saplings to sprout requires a certain technique. What do you think? Artistic, isn't it? It's like a surrealistic painting.
York, shoot me.
Emily?
Let me die. Please. York.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Zach. What should I do?
Oh, dude, I don't know. No, I can't pop her. What if there's a way to save her?
We then go into a flashback. It's a young boy in his pajamas standing in his living room. His mother's lying on the floor, and his dad is standing over her, pointing a revolver at her.
I'm sorry, my darling.
And this time we see that the mother has a red tree growing out of her stomach.
Let her go!
The young boy peeks past the doorway, and for the first time we see that there's another man in the scene.
Remove that sapling from her body, Kaysen.
Xander, it's too late. Once it's like this, I can't do anything to stop it.
Please, darling.
Shoot Kaysen.
I'd rather die.
I think Kaysen's immortal.
You love me. Let me die.
That sucks.
The father, Xander, falls to his knees. And then the tree begins to grow, sucking the life force from the mother.
Oh, dang.
The woman almost instantly mummifies, and this time the young boy in the doorway falls to his knees.
At times we must purge things from this world because they should not exist. Even if it means losing someone that you love. Yes, I couldn't do it. However, you can. When the time comes and you have to make that decision, make the right one. Okay, Zach?
Whoa!
The man quickly puts the revolver to his head and pulls the trigger.
Wait a minute, I'm Zach.
Zach. Zach.
What?
Kaysen kneels down in front of Xander's lifeless body and pulls out a little doll of himself and begins to play with it in front of his face.
Francis. Zach. Morgan. Francis. Zach. Morgan.
I saw you, Zach.
What?
Before the scene fades out in a whiteness, we see Kaysen raise his hand into a claw and strike at our face. When the scene fades back in, the young boy is sitting in the negative zone dream world with the trees and the reflective floor. But this time his hair is white instead of brown, and he has a long scar mark across his eyebrow and his temple. Suddenly the same boy, but with brown hair, appears behind him.
It's okay. I'm here. I'm with you. I'll be with you always. We can get through this together. Who are you? My name is York. Me and you will always be together. Okay, Zach? I'm you, and you are me. Now, give me your hand.
What?
The boys grab each other's hands, and the scene fades out, and we fade back in back on the theater stage. But instead of the dark hair and tiny scar York, we are met with another man who has white hair and a big long scar across his eyebrow and his temple.
I remember. I traded places with York. York, the other me. My other personality.
What?
Zach, please. Please shoot. Kill me!
Popper!
Am I actually supposed to?
I think so.
Oh, dang!
York, what should I do? Tell me what to do, York.
Oh no!
Our view then switches to first person, and we're looking at Emily.
Zach, you have to decide for yourself what you must do. I'll be with you no matter what you decide. Don't worry.
Fuck.
We then get three options we can pick from. The first is aim at Kaysen, and then point gun at own head, and finally point gun at Emily.
Kaysen?
Kaysen, I think, is immortal.
Own head?
No. That's your father. Point gun at Emily.
No.
Do something.
I'm shooting myself.
You're gonna shoot yourself.
Well, what if it kills, York and not her?
I can't shoot you.
The long play I'm getting the good audio from did not choose this option, so we're gonna have kinda crappy audio for a moment.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
I don't know!
Like father, like son, taking the same path. And to think York went through all that pain to get you out. Out of the red room that you were stuck in all
of
this
time. What?
Why would you choose to shoot yourself?
I don't know. I panicked.
Emily,
that's stupid.
I know.
I'm glad to have met you.
What?
Goodbye.
Oh, buddy.
Sorry.
What does this solve?
I don't know. I didn't think he'd actually shoot himself. I thought I was supposed to find something.
We're now in the red dream world with the leaves all over the ground, and Zach is slumped over, staring at his feet. Emily's also here. She's a desiccated corpse sitting in a chair.
Zach, you made the wrong choice.
No shit.
Don't give up.
Think carefully.
Father's words will guide us.
But...
Now get... Focus on reality, Zach.
We get two options here. They start out again or give up.
Start over again?
Okay. This time I won't shoot myself in the head. I do bad under pressure.
Maybe it'll work the second time. It won't work the second time, I'm kidding.
That scene slowly fades out to white, and then we're back on the theater stage again.
You want to try shooting Case in?
Okay.
Zach, please shoot. kill me.
And then killing her will kill Kaysen.
What should I do? Tell me what to do, York.
Okay, I'll kill her.
Zach, you have to decide for yourself what you must do.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'll leave you no matter what you decide.
You do it. I feel bad.
Yeah, I'm going to do Emily or Kaysen?
Don't ask me. Just choose the one you think's right. Oh, no. It's hard, right?
Not really. Oh, no, no, no! Oh, God, I moved it just in time.
So Steve is fucking around, switching between the options real fast to build the tension, and the timer's about to run out, and it looks like we choose the Emily option, but we don't. We just run out of time.
York, what should I do? Tell me what to do, York.
Fucking
what?
Zach, you have to decide for yourself.
I thought I just did that.
Oh, I guess not.
I'll be with you no matter what you decide.
What do you think, Kaysen or Emily?
Emily, just do it. You're probably right.
There are some things in this world that must be extracted. No matter what. Even if that means losing someone that you love.
Wait, pass by the controller. Uh-oh. Do I have to shoot her?
It's gonna make you actually pull the trigger?
No. I don't even really... Okay.
Zach fires a single shot. But he shoots wide.
What?
I can't kill Emily.
I'm sorry, Zach.
Stop.
Emily grabs onto the tree in her stomach with both hands and then smiles at Zach. And then...
Whoa!
Emily!
She rips it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, and now the grand finale.
Shoot off his nuts.
Kaysen begins dancing around and jumping and clicking his heels, and Zach runs over to Emily and grabs her as she falls to the ground.
Emily, what have you done?
Zach! I wasn't used as soil at all.
You're beautiful.
What?
I don't know.
Most beautiful person I've ever seen.
Thank you, Zach. I wanted to be with you.
Wait, so she was actually into Zach?
I guess so. So is he like a two-for-one boyfriend?
I don't know.
Suddenly a blinding white light envelops Zach and Emily, and when we get our vision back, Zach is in a forest with five people in red dresses.
So wait, do we have to choose again?
I don't really know.
Zach looks at his arms where a moment ago he was holding Emily, and she's not there. He looks up and sees Emily walking towards Anna and Becky and Diane and Thomas and Carol, and Emily's also wearing a red dress.
Aw, man, don't
Emily,
go.
No. You aren't supposed to go over there. That's not the way.
Come back, Emily.
York and Zack. Finally, I understand. You two really are best friends. I'm a little jealous.
And then one more character walks into frame and stands beside Emily. It's Francis York Morgan. But please, just call him York. That's what everyone calls him.
Hey, stand up, Zack. It's up to you now.
What?
Emily, I finally got to meet you face to face. But you had to go with York, didn't you? He always gets the girl.
He's a good guy. You see that too, right? He kept talking to me and ended up pulling me back out of that room.
Zack smiles at York and Emily before continuing.
I'm sure he'll make you very happy.
Zack gets enveloped by the light again, and then he's back on stage with Emily in his arms, who he gently lays down. He then takes off his jacket and lays it over Emily before standing up and turning to face Kacen.
Why did you bring Zack back? Who the hell are you two? How did you get out of the Red Room?
Kacen then transforms into an appearance more befitting his personality. His skin becomes purple and veiny, and he grows and grows. His stomach gets huge, and he becomes almost spherical. His neck has completely disappeared, his head just connects to the top of his massive body, and his stubby legs make him almost look like a frog mixed with a beach ball.
Holy shit. He just, fart gassed himself up to the ceiling.
Kacen jumps and just grabs onto the ceiling. He then starts swinging around like a big, blobby, squishy, stretchy Spider-Man. And thus begins the Forest Kacen boss fight.
Oh, damn, this is actually sort of fucking weird. Okay. Yeah.
We pretty easily shoot him off the ceiling, but then he bounces towards us like a big, angry bouncy ball.
Ah!
I should have just stayed in there.
Oh, did he bonk me? He did.
Yeah, you're gonna have to switch weapons, buddy.
Is it not doing enough?
No, you're throwing pennies at him, man.
Okay.
Also, be ready to dodge.
I did.
Hey, he's farting at you.
Much like the wall crawler ladies, Kacen is able to shoot big, dark balls of energy at us.
Do you think there's a way to save Emily? I feel really bad.
I would not bet on it.
Should probably see if you got any health.
Yeah. This is probably the final boss. I don't know why I'm being so stingy.
It's because you're almost out.
Yeah, I'm also like everything. Except for everything that I don't need.
We fire a lot of bullets into him before finally getting his health bar down.
Cool, okay.
Last shot.
Now he's dead. Alright.
Zack begins to move towards Emily, and then from the seats in the audience, Kacen bounds back on stage.
Does she come back? Hello, sir.
Have you heard the word?
Kacen's a bit mumbly in his new form, so I will translate, and Jess will too.
Zack, your luck has run out now.
He's so obese, it's just taken over his neck.
You've come back just to be killed.
Yeah, you could have stayed hidden in the white room.
Just like that senile old man. Humans are so foolish. So foolish. There's nothing to compare. With one whiff of that gas I made from the seeds, they happily kill each other. Even their neighbors, even the ones they love. Not much compared to the full effects of the seeds themselves, but I still got a really good laugh out of it. Anyway, I think we've had enough fun for today. And I really don't like having to exercise.
Oh, dude, I just like this.
Kacen transforms again, and oh boy, how the fuck do I describe this thing? He's now hunched over on all fours, and he's twisted his wrists and feet around so they're pointing backwards. He's still purple, but now he's a lot more veiny, his hair is all spiked up, and his head has become super fat. He looks more frog-like like this, but if frogs had legs like cows do, maybe? He looks goddamn grotesque. He then punches through the stage, and Zack and Kacen both fall through into this big, massive, open underground room.
What is up with the massive structures around this place?
Whoa!
This is the first time they did POV.
Kacen then chases Zack, and Zack escapes by diving through a door which leads into a big circular room that is empty, like a grain silo almost, but there is a staircase around the perimeter of it that's just leading downwards. And it's one of those sections where we flick the stick back and forth.
How far you can run! You're an annoying
shit, no!
The grotesque Kacen monster is chasing us down the stairs, but he's not using the stairs himself. Instead, he's just crawling along the wall really disgustingly.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
is it? Because... this actually hurts.
Man, you're taking like years off of my controller.
Please, no! I did it.
Be it. Oh, fuck, you're almost dead.
We missed a QuickTime event and Kacen bonked us as he ran past us, and now instead of running down the stairs, we have low enough health that we are limping extremely slowly.
Here.
You're fucked.
I'm giving this to you.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna focus on L, like we did last time.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, I think we're fucked though.
The splitting the controller strat doesn't work, Kacen murders us, but I don't think it's a fault of the strat, so we're gonna try again.
Okay, do you want to do the left dash?
No. Actually, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Okay.
Because this is fairly mindless. I can do this.
Okay, that's good, because you also have leather hands, and my hands hurt from that.
So we get back to the running down the stairs section, but unfortunately we're all out of medkits, and a single hit from Kacen if we mess up the QTE puts us into the limping state.
Oh, sorry.
God damn it!
Check to see if I have any Heelys.
You don't.
Fuck.
B.
Got it. Oh, sorry, it gave me 2 Bs in a row.
Oh man, no, it's okay. That's fucking difficult.
Right? It's a little freaking bonkers. Okay. Now I understand I cannot fuck up.
Apparently. Zero fucking ups allowed. Okay. So, I think Kacen...
I skipped it. We can just go.
I think Kacen existed before the military seat thing.
Probably.
I think he might have actually brought that to the military just to see what they would do with it.
Huh.
We're doing pretty alright, but the single hit we're allowed to take is pretty brutal.
Oh, I used the wrong one. I'm sorry.
God damn it. pretty much fucked at this point.
And we end up getting bopped again.
What if we just straight up don't have enough health to do this?
I don't know. I don't know if the podcast goes unfinished. There was this one time where me and Brett were playing, I think it was Dead Space 2.
Nice try, Jess, but you already roasted me about the Velociraptors. Anyway, we die this time, so now we're going to check our inventory just to make sure there's no med packs hiding behind any of our cans of pickles or anything.
Cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Is this just a waste time mechanic?
I worry that it might be.
Damn it! Okay.
Which I wish we knew about.
This is... Brett... When you're listening to this, know that I'm a little maid.
No, because he wouldn't have known because we had, like, fucking...
Oh.
Yeah, he's still on recording 3.
Oh,
like,
no.
For editing. So, he won't have known about all the times that we're just trying to kill 3 hours or something.
Oh, I feel a little bad. Never mind, Brett, I'm not mad at you.
I like how we just assume this before, but we don't actually, like, they don't use the cigarettes and learn it and look at the clock spinning quickly until, like, the final boss fight. That's pretty good.
Aw, man, we're never gonna have, like, Thomas's buns ever again. Sorry, Thomas's biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
Thomas's biscuit.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Oh, I need to move the thing back up.
I need you to click on it.
Oh, sorry.
The perils of two inebriated individuals sharing a controller.
This is why I've been going through this. I've been reading the things.
Life. Okay.
Recovers life.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why. And then he, like, too bad there's no item. Click.
Dude.
Thomas's biscuit heals us to full health. We're good to go. And with this bit of help from our old friend, we're able to make it. Zack runs all the way down the spiral staircase and then dives through a door right before Kaysen can get him.
Oh, okay, cool.
Combine.
Got it.
Oh.
How's your hand? How did I go up?
We're now on the top of the clock tower, right under the giant bell. It's a bit larger than it was previous, and it's also storming.
How am I up now?
Spirit world bullshit.
Holy shit.
Is he like a duck person now? Oh.
Is he a moron?
Is he a kappa?
Kaysen then charges at Zack, but Zack rolls out of the way, and Kaysen slips off the clock tower.
Emily? I will avenge your death. Just a moment longer.
Don't you dare jump.
I'll buy you a new dress to make up for all the pain I've caused you. The dress you wore when you came to my hotel room didn't seem to fit you right.
Wow, that's rude.
I think he just means it was probably off the rack.
So? That's still rude. She looks hot as hell.
She did. I think it just means that I'm going to buy you an actually really nice dress.
And Kaysen rises up. This time, he looks like he used to. The only difference is his face is all veiny. He looks like the crazed townsfolk. Well, and he's also, like, Godzilla size.
Could also mean that she looked uncomfortable in it.
While we're ruminating on dresses, Kaysen backhands the entire structure of the clock tower away. Now the only thing left is a large circular platform for Zack to stand on. Kaysen also still has the patch of Willy on his left back pocket.
Oh man. The dog face being there makes me so happy. Because you know he adores
Kaysen,
the dog.
Yeah. I've been meaning to tell you this. You're one crazy guy.
Oh,
you're one crazy cat.
Good ones,
good
Zach.
Parties. Good parties. You know how to throw it down.
Fuck you guys. That line is cool as hell.
Oh, he's holding a miniature version of himself.
I think that's what you gotta hit.
Ah. Okay. Hey, you stupid bitch.
Yeah, that's why you put it in your mother's blood.
What? Why won't he, like, hide it? Hey, I'm trying to attack him.
I think he's summoning his power from him right now. Yeah, it's like a little voodoo doll deal.
Come on.
Yeah, you've got to point the gun at
the thing. Dude, no, you have no idea how hard that is. You can't just, like, move it. You have to, like, gingerly click it to go very slightly, because, like, this is, like, the minimum amount that I can, like, move at a given point in time.
Oh, yeah, by the way, even Brett thinks that your driving is bad.
Is it?
It's pretty bad.
He thinks my driving is bad.
Which indicates to me that he could probably drive better than you in this game.
Hey, don't put words in my mouth.
Which is not surprising.
Of course that he can drive better than me in this game. Brett's, like, fucking phenomenal at video games.
It's canon.
Also, did York die?
Yeah.
When? How?
He decided to go, and he got Zach out of the red room. Or white room, I don't know.
And then he took over. Okay.
Yeah, and then he's like, okay, man, it's yours again. See ya. I came out of the ether, I'm going back into the ether.
I guess it just, like, kind of, like, fucked with me a little, because I kind of thought, like, this... Because this Zach here is the original, right?
Yeah.
We fight him for a while longer, and then we get him with one hit left on his health bar.
Sorry, Casey. Time for you to say goodnight.
Watch out, he's gonna fart on ya.
And then Kaysen turns his back to us and starts fiddling with something.
He's doing something creepy. Maybe he's, like, eating Emily's corpse.
I think he's eating the doll.
Is he?
Now he's gonna pop back up to full health or something.
That's a pretty good guess for a video game final boss, but Kaysen turns around and the doll's just gone.
So, but, like, did York just go just cuz then?
You gotta do something. Like, you gotta hit his hand.
Oh, no, I had to climb up.
Kaysen pounds the ground with his fist and leaves it there for a while, and we run up to it, but we're a little bit too late to hit the climb prompt.
Do I get to go in the dog pocket? Like, did he shove it in the dog pocket somehow? I would be very happy, honestly.
Any excuse to get in the dog pocket.
What do you think he gives? Probably just snacks. Like, for the dog.
We dodge around for a bit, and then he finally pounds the ground again.
And climb up.
Yep. How did he not notice this? Oh, shit.
We climb up Kaysen's arm, and we're now standing on his shoulder.
You're an annoying little
fuck. Apparently it's not...
Oh, fuck, it's right there!
It's not in the willy pocket. Jess was pretty close. It is actually in the pocket on the front of his overalls.
What? Fuck, I don't know how to get there. I saw it. It's on his... His, like, shoulder or whatever now. Shit. Fuck off.
What, like, in his breast pocket?
Kaysen violently shakes around, and we're just too slow hitting the QTE, so we get chucked off his shoulder.
Yeah, it's moved. So now I gotta shoot there.
Now he's moving again.
Fuck you!
As Kaysen pulls the doll out of his pocket, he regains a little bit of HP.
It's just that when we were driving around, I just didn't care. Sorry, I know that's kind of random, but, like, I feel like as a woman, I need to defend my driving skills. Oh, damn.
That's your excuse.
My excuse for making excuses, yes.
We get him one hit away again, and he shoves the doll back into his pocket.
My bullets should be able to go through denim, even if it's monster-sized denim.
We get back on his shoulder in pretty short order.
Look down.
Yes! Okay, good. It's only one shot. I thought I was going to have to, like, drain a health bar like that. Oh!
This isn't even my final form.
Kaysen's mouth splits open and his head falls back and two tongues pop out as well as an eyeball.
This is kind of Cthulhu-esque, eh?
Yeah.
It's because you don't understand humans.
Zack fires a single pistol shot at Kaysen's monster eyeball.
Oh, dude, that's fucking awesome.
It's pretty over the top.
Zack's bullet pierces the eyeball and causes a red light to grow out from it, and then suddenly the light sucks back in and the eyeball explodes. Meanwhile, Zack turns his back and walks away, cool guy action movie style.
Something.
It'd be really funny if you just got hit by a giant piece of flesh, though.
That'd be great. That's what you get for not looking.
You could have dodged.
And then we cut back to a townsfolk holding an axe in the air. But the storm has passed. It stopped raining. He looks at the axe in his hand and then drops it, shocked. And then we cut to a crowd of more townsfolk who are in the midst of fighting each other and then suddenly realize what they're doing and stop.
Holy shit, that lady's lucky to be alive.
So is it like a kill the original vampire, end the thing kind of deal?
We then cut back to the theater with a giant hole in the ground and Emily still lying there. Zack is standing over her.
Emily, York tries not to show it, but he's pretty shy. Don't wait for him to propose. Just ask him to marry you.
But, like, is she in heaven?
I think so.
Zack picks up Emily and begins to carry her away, and then he notices something small on the ground.
Or at least they're in some kind of afterlife.
Hmm?
It's Kaysen's doll.
Shoot it.
Zack steps on it and walks away. So we hit the end of chapter screen and mash through all that, and then we get another recap.
Previously during the investigation, York, the other me, my other personality.
There are some things in this world that must be extracted, no matter what.
York, I'm sorry, I...
Why can you cause me pain? Red tree!
That is not what it sounds like at all. I was there for this.
I understand. But you two really are best friends. I'm a little jealous.
I'm sure he'll make you very happy.
Do you think this is the canon ending? If what? There is more than one ending?
Deadly Premonition's only got the one ending, so no worries. As the scene fades back in, we see Zack standing in front of a beautiful painting of five women in dresses frolicking in the field. And then we hear a door open and close, and another character enters the scene. It's Harry, but this time he's not wearing his mask.
What?
Are you leaving today?
Oh, maybe. He knows the gas is gone.
Zack. That story I told you the other day, did you believe any of it?
The fact of the matter is that I couldn't save Emily. So it really doesn't matter whether I believed you or not.
I'm very sorry about her. There's something mysterious about that picture. There's a calming beauty to it, and yet it exudes sadness.
Harry. I have a few questions for you.
About what, Zack?
Your last name isn't really Stewart, is it?
Yeah, that is correct. It's really Woodman. Harry Woodman. George was my son.
Oh, shit, that's...
You were there
sucks.
In the White Room when I was there. Why?
The same reason as your father. Long, long ago, I too was unable to shoot my wife. What's worse is that I was also unable to kill myself. Which is why I lost both. The woman I loved, and my son. My wife suffered from a mental illness, but I still loved her. I wanted to save George too, if I could. Everything was my fault. If only I had the courage to make the right decision, Emily and the other girls would not have died. But you have put an end to all of that.
I wonder if they are happy.
Zack, no need to worry about that. York will guide Emily and the other girls into the forest.
So the forest is afterlife?
You know what I kind of like about this? So, Thomas is in the picture and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're treating him as one of the girls.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of ties into why I think the game ultimately treated Thomas well. Because after his downfall, him dressing up in a dress or being one of the women isn't treated as like a punchline or like a goofy joke as it would in a lot of other Japanese media. It's just Thomas is one of the girls. Anyway, after that conversation with Harry, we cut to a scene outside where Zack is riding in the back of one of Harry's limos and Michael is driving him somewhere.
And you just saw Emily.
Hey, Michael. Mind stopping the car for a moment?
Very well, Mr. Francis Zack Morgan.
Do I get to say one final goodbye?
Did you notice that he also said Zack Morgan? Everyone calls you Zack Morgan now.
Huh.
As Zack is walking into the forest where he saw Emily, he meets up with Jim Green, the forest keeper, and his two grandsons, Isaac and Isaiah.
I heard you're leaving.
They have the dog now. Cool.
Jim pats Isaac and Isaiah on the head and then sends them away with Willy and then begins to talk to Zack.
Uh-huh. That's right.
It's a shame about Emily and the other girls, too.
How are Isaac and Isaiah?
Oh, they're fine. They still don't think the girls are dead.
We then see the boys talking to someone, but we can't see who it is.
Give it to him yourself. He's right next to you.
Oh, okay. I understand. We'll do it for you.
The boys then run back to Zack.
Emily kind of told us to give this to you.
Emily said it's a present for Zack.
It's the gold leaf necklace that Emily's mother gave her that we saw during her and York's conversation at the Galaxy of Terror after Diane's death. I couldn't tell from the video, so that's what Whitney told me it was after I had to DM her on Twitter because I could not figure it out. So thank you again, Whitney, always saving the podcast.
Thank you. Where did you get this?
Emily asked us to give it to you. See? She's over there.
There's another Zack there, too. You're twins, just like us.
Emily couldn't give it to you herself. She said she's too embarrassed. So, she asked us to hand it to you.
Emily really likes you, Zack. She really likes you.
The boys are pointing to an empty clearing, and then suddenly the camera pans a bit, and there's a flash, and we see Thomas and Carol and Anna and Becky and Diane and Emily and... York is standing there with them.
No, she doesn't. Not me. She really likes that guy, York.
the guy you see standing next to her. Anyways, you two. Be nice to the girls, okay? And they'll be nice to you.
We don't like girls. Girls are boring.
And after that, the boys run off again. And this time Jim follows after.
Emily. York. Sounds like you're both doing fine. I feel better about you two now. And hey, York. I figured out why George carried on his body all the way into the woods.
It was for them. He wanted Isaac and Isaiah to find her.
We then see Michael walk up behind Zach.
Mr. Francis Zach Morgan, if you are finished, if you are, please, let us return to the car.
No need for that. You can go home. I want to take a look around more.
Very good. Well,
I'm sure Mr. Stewart will approve of that.
Okay.
Ah, thank you, Michael.
Can you carry on from here?
I think so.
You're
can
just
I
gonna
finish
be like
all those side quests?
Walking around town? Yeah, solving side quests? Probably not. Some of those side quests are for dead people now.
This is not where he dropped me off.
We're now playing as Zach, standing outside the gate leading to Harry's mansion.
I will grab a car.
Thankfully, the police department parks rows of cars out here.
I don't understand how they have so many cars. I'm pretty sure they're, like, our city's, like, police budget doesn't have enough cars. Like, this many cars. Because, like, just think of this and all the ones that I've destroyed.
Defund the police. They don't need like 400 cop cars for 8 cops.
Nah, I'll go the long way. No!
York, can you hear me? I'm a little jealous.
Wait, is he still in my head?
I'm alone on this side now.
Oh.
But don't worry, York. I've had it easy for so long having you with me. I need to get used to being on my own.
Okay.
I don't think Zach ever answered in the game.
No?
No, we weren't Zach. We were seeing things from York's point of view. So all the times that he was talking to Zach, it was just always him asking him to come out.
Aww. That's kind of cute.
Yeah. And now Zach's doing the same thing.
Oh, because right now he's in the red room?
No, I think York is dead, but he's still just talking to the air in hopes that he answers back.
Oh, that's a little depressing. So all those times we were having conversations and stuff, like, he's actually, like, aww. So he was alone that whole time.
Yeah.
And he's just aware of a kid in a red room somehow?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, that is depressing.
I kind of hope that I'm right, because that would be pretty good.
Kind of. Do you think that, like, what's his face?
Oh,
wait, hold on.
I hope things are going well with Emily. You've always been horrible with women. I gave you tons of advice during your last relationship.
Well,
you ignored all of it. I'm sure Emily will take the lead. Just don't fight her. Let her steer you in the right direction.
Yeah.
I love that my little pet theory is immediately disproven.
Damn it.
We're not just driving around aimlessly, we're headed towards a mission marker that is somewhere off in the distance.
I think we have to go to the hotel
yeah,
time.
Yeah, hotel time.
Oh, man.
Time.
Dude, in this town, like, all their law enforcement is, like, dead.
Oh, man.
Right?
At least
most of the sheriffs. There's a lot of other officers there.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm, like, almost convinced now that it's just, like, George dressed up a whole bunch of mannequins. this'll
That's why you can't talk to any of them?
Yeah.
We make it to the hotel, and there is a bit of a time skip, so now we see Zach lying in bed at night.
Oh. Is the old lady gonna die? Oh, okay.
York, tonight I'm going to sleep like a baby.
This just kind of solved my question, though, over, like...
Please, Zach.
Well, is she gonna get a two-for-one? Like, is it two boyfriends in one?
Yeah, I guess so.
Zach.
Did I say that earlier today, or in a different episode, or both?
All finished. It's time for you to leave town. Are you ready to go?
We get two options here. Yes, I'm ready, or there's still things I want to do.
What should I do?
I don't know.
I guess yes.
Do you still want to do things?
No. And this is the end, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And this is goodbye, Zach. Thank you for everything.
Oh.
Good night, Zach. And sleep tight.
The scene fades out, and we fade back in to Zach standing in front of the hotel desk with Polly manning it.
I have this feeling that Zach's going to be, like, socially awkward.
Polly, what's that picture?
Yeah. Oh, that. We took it when the clock tower was built.
50 years ago?
That's right. That's me in the middle. I was pretty popular back then. Men were always around me.
We then zoom into a specific individual in the picture.
Just in case you couldn't see, it's Kaysen.
Just sign here, please. Mr. Morgan? Mr. Morgan?
Oh, I'm sorry, Polly. I was just thinking of a friend. Someone who was with me for a long, long time.
He must have been a really good friend, then. Otherwise, why else would you remember him at a time like this?
Indeed. We used to fight, but he really was a good person. He's gone now, though. Gone away to a place where we can't meet again.
I'm sorry to hear that, but if he's a friend of yours, I'm sure he's getting on just fine.
Why would you not assume that that meant dead?
I think so, too.
Because she's old and doesn't want to face the inevitable.
And then we see Zach walking on the bridge leading out of Greenvale. He pulls out a cigarette and then stares at it for a moment.
Well, Zach doesn't even smoke.
Is he just gonna walk home? Yeah, do we get to keep the dog? Wait.
The camera whooshes back at the start of the bridge behind Zach to show Willy with a doll of casein in his mouth. Willy turns away and heads back, and then the camera begins to follow a fly.
What the fuck?
Is it a bad dog?
Uh-huh.
What if all he has to do is, like, plant the doll?
That's what I'm thinking.
The camera pans up following the fly, and we see a beautiful overhead view of the Pacific Northwest. And then the scene fades out and fades into credits.
Were all the hellhounds just symbolic of this dog being actually, like, awful?
The only good dog was a bad dog.
Is he, though? Or is he a good dog that's still working for a bad man?
Probably the second one. Because most dogs are good dogs.
Yeah. Where's my cat? Tico!
Why are you calling him? We ain't giving him food.
Well, how come Scrubs are not, like... good enough.
Because he's a whore for food.
He's a whore for food. Oh. that one time where, like, we had to go and
buddy, we're not even talking about the end of the game.
So?
I think we're also supposed to talk about the game.
Why?
I don't know.
We're doing, like, an after credits thing with Red. Also, let's watch.
After Jess unceremoniously skips the credits, we see a scene of York and Emily sitting at a bar and holding hands.
Is that the good dress he bought her?
I hope not.
Emily's wearing a blue dress that's kind of polka-dotty and cloud pattern-y, and then Anna walks into frame and she's wearing her waitress outfit. The camera changes again, and we see Carol and Diane in their leather vests, and Thomas in his police outfit, and Becky in her red hoodie. They're standing behind the couple, who then lean together and kiss.
Putting on a show, eh?
Yeah. Wow, they did a really good, like, kitchen area.
Huh. Which is funny, because they never let you into it.
Oh, no, I was talking about the stand behind her, like, the waitressing area. Mm. Like, they had, like, a juice bar thing, and it was like...
Yeah, it was actually a pretty nicely set up kitchen.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, actually, all their stuff was really well set up. Like, if they had a chance to make something look cool, they did it.
Yeah.
But, you remember, like, M&M meat shops?
Why'd you say... Okay, go fast.
At M&M meat shops, like, you get, like, the free juice. I used to love that as a kid. Also, dude, we're done.
Alright.
That's it. Let's go.
So we're done?
Yeah. Oh, let's Google if there's two endings. Okay. I want to see if I royally fucked up.
And if we can replay that section and go through it a different way.
Nah, you're good.
Sorry, for some reason I opened up Kijiji and I just started looking around.
For some reason.
I have no idea.
Idea. That was it. That was all of Deadly Premonition. I just want to do a quick thanks to the YouTube channel Winning Media HD and their long play of the game on YouTube, because you might have noticed that the audio pumping in from the game into our mic was super loud this episode, and that's because Jess was literally half deaf when we were recording it. So at times when there was dialogue and music, it was almost so loud it was like feeding back, so I had to steal their cutscene audio for a bunch of stuff, so thank you if any of you ever hear this. Also, the echo on our capture card was the worst it has ever been. It was like a second between echoes. It was 100% unlistenable. Oh man, the editing and the splicing on this episode was an ordeal. But it's done. It's over. That's it. That was all of Deadly Premonition. More special thanks to everyone who listened to the entire thing, or even if you somehow ended up on this finale episode and just listened to this one. That's pretty sweet too. And fuck it. More thanks to Whitney at Kemiro on Twitter for, because I think your retweets are like half of the audience that we have now. So thank you so much. Also, Swery, I guess. Hey, you made a good video game. It's pretty good. Also, hey, if you listened to the entire thing and you enjoyed it, then the next time you're on, like, a podcast rating site rating a good podcast, then, like, add us, make us, like, a value add, and then give us 100 stars, too. It's like when you go to, like, Wendy's and you're really hungry, and you get a burger meal, and you're like, I'm a little bit more hungry, so you get one of the little hamburgers, too. We can be the little hamburger. What else is important for this last one? Hey, follow me on Twitter, @SkeletonPod. I tweet, I'm good. I got the cool, good tweets, I swear. I made a Fursuit Friday tweet, which was super good. Okay, that's all the stuff I feel obligated to put into the end of the finale episode, but now, fun stuff. Hey, what are we planning for season 2? Because we're just going to keep on fucking going. I got bad news for survival horror fans, because season 2 is not a survival horror game, but I have good news for survival horror fans, because season 3 is going to be a survival horror game. So the entire idea of this podcast was, like, you can jump in and out to games you like or games that you're interested in, so don't feel bad if you don't want to listen to season 2, but keep an eye out, because you might want to listen to season 3. That's kind of how I planned it from the start. So anyway, what is season 2? It is a Japanese role-playing game. It's on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It's a game that at one point I considered my favorite game. It's like one of my comfort food games. I play through it every couple years. Jess has played about an hour of it, and I don't believe Steve has ever played it. We are going to be playing Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars. Jess doesn't like turn-based games, so it should be fun stuff. And now I got more bad news for survival horror people. Season 3 was originally going to be Deadly Premonition 2, but as Steve and Jess were recording it, Jess was still suffering from her ear infection. So the entire time, they were just miserable, and they decided it did not make for good audio, so unfortunately we had to scrap that. But since you now know the story of Deadly Premonition 1, now you have to buy Deadly Premonition 2 and play it yourself, and give Swery more money so he can buy more booze. Yeah, I think that's it. I think this season, it felt very pilot episode-y, I think, with all the audio fuck-ups. But I'm proud of what it turned into. So yeah, that's all I got. Thank you again for listening to this weird thing. Unfortunately, there is going to be a bit of a hiatus while we get Super Mario RPG prepared, but I'm lying. That was a bait and switch. It's going to start next Thursday. Fuck it. Who needs hiatuses? Not me. Stay safe, FK in the coffee, and I love you. Goodbye.
They were supposed to be regular hot dogs.